Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, what I want us to do is we're going to start a new mini-series from the book of James. The title of this series is From Trouble to Triumph. From Trouble to Triumph. When you come to the book of James, he's writing to people who are facing trying times. They're facing trials. And that's what makes this book so relevant to us, because we are in a time of trial as a nation. We're facing physical trials. There's some who are sick, and the illness and the pandemic is making what you need and getting what you need more difficult. Some are facing financial trials. Maybe you've been laid off, or you're concerned about how your business is going to come back. And there's that trial regarding finances. For some, it's worry about the future. It's like, what's going to happen in the future? And when is this going to be over? And for some, it's really turned into a psychological, emotional battle. There are some of you, and you're lonely because you're a highly social person. You miss being around people. I mean, every time I see the staff, different staff come through the door, you just want to, I mean, we do social distancing, but I was going to say, you just want to run over, shake their hand, give them a hug, because you're so glad to see them. You miss them so much. So there's people that are facing the trial of loneliness. For others, it goes beyond loneliness to depression. There are some, and you're really struggling with depression. You have a sense of hopelessness that is something maybe you've never felt before. For others of you, you're very, very stressed. It's an emotion of stressfulness because you're out of your routine and you're not sure of how things are going to play out. And so you're stressed. You're worried about the future. You're discouraged because maybe a vacation you planned, you're not going to be able to do that. And you've been looking forward to it, but now that's not going to happen. For some of you, you're angry. You're angry about what's happened, and it shows relationally in the home. It shows with the way you're processing things. For some, you're just straight up, you're cranky. You got up on the wrong side of the bed, and it's hard because you're out of your routine. Like one person said to me yesterday, I just want my life back. We can miss the things that are a part of the routines of life. And we know that's not going to change tomorrow. We know it's going to be minimum a couple of weeks, maybe many weeks, before life returns to a routine. It's a trial. And what James wants his readers to understand, and what he wants us to understand, is that trials have a purpose. That right now, God is at work in every one of our lives through these trials. And he works in us through the trials to prepare us so that he can work through us in our lives in the days to come. And that's a very exciting thing to think about. God is getting us ready for what he wants to do through us when this pandemic is over. So our problems have a purpose. Now, think about it. If you don't know the Lord, if a person isn't walking with the Lord and they're going through a pandemic, they could feel completely hopeless. Honestly, they could find themselves saying, what's the point of all this? But as Christians, that's not where we're at. We have this great hope. We have this great anticipation of what God is going to do, because God is working now with a purpose in this trial to prepare us for what he wants to do. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, this is what James writes. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I want you to read that again. Notice what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Those words, many kinds, could be translated many colors, of many variations. It's almost like there's a spectrum that James has in mind of trials. There are little trials and there are big trials. There are hard trials, there are easy trials. Trials come in all shapes and sizes. And here's what James says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Trials are inevitable. Notice that James doesn't say, consider it pure joy if you face trials. Trials are a part of life. One seminary professor said, life is hard and then you die. That's a bit morbid, but honestly, it's true. And some Christians have the mistaken notion that because we're a Christian, we're not going to have any problems or trials. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Trials are a part of life. Part of the reason why that's true is because this is not heaven. We're not there yet. And when trials come, we have to be prepared by accepting that, first of all, they're a part of life. I think it's Job who says, man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly up, or just like you have a campfire and sparks fly up from that campfire. Just like sparks do that automatically. Automatically in life, you and I are going to have trials. And then we have to realize that God has a purpose in those trials. Whenever we face a trial, there is a purpose. You say, well, like what? What kind of purpose does God have? Well, first of all, we could say that trials come to test our heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31, a very interesting verse. It's from the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah has been sick. God has miraculously healed him, and now there have been people who have come to hear his story. And this is what we read. But when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, watch this, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. Now, God didn't have to test him to know what was in his heart. He already knew what was in Hezekiah's heart. But he allows tests so that you and I will see what's in our heart. What is it that Jeremiah says? Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You know, the fact of the matter is that there are times when you and I can't even know our own heart. We can't even know our own motivation. And we can think we're serving God from one motive or we're living with one motive, and then a trial comes. And what it does in that moment is it really exposes our heart and lets us see where we're at. You could put it this way. Trials are a way by which you and I can take spiritual inventory. So let me ask you this. Right now, as we're going through this trial, how are you doing spiritually? What kind of grade would you give yourself? Are you serving the Lord in strength? One of the ways you evaluate that is, what kind of attitude have you had? What kind of perspective have you had? Have you been speaking words of life, or have you found yourself filling the air with negativity because you don't like what's happening? That's an indication of the level of your faith. That's an indication of where you are at spiritually. And I think all of us do well to take inventory during these times. I know for Debbie and I, we both talked about that and thought about that, and we're taking inventory of our lives. And this whole pandemic has caused me to think, man, you know, there's some areas I need to get a hold of. There are some areas that I need to give concerted effort to growth so that I'm moving in the purposes of God. It's the second thing. Trials come to help us stay humble. You remember the Apostle Paul, he had had a number of exceptional spiritual experiences. He had seen the resurrected Christ on three different occasions. God had used him to raise the dead, to heal the sick. And those kind of experiences can cause a person to become proud, to become conceited, to become spiritually self-confident. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. You see, what happens is God allows trials And what they do is they press us to be dependent upon Him. They press us to rely on Him. They press us, they challenge us to remember our strength is limited, that we are at our core are weak, and it's in our weakness that we see His strength. So God helped him stay humble by allowing a trial. Third, you can say this, trials make us yearn for heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is probably facing, as he's writing these words, the greatest challenge of his life. He says, we despaired of all life. He says, I thought we were gonna die. I was ready to give up. But then he writes this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. He was going through these trials and he says, what happens is I see God working in me and I can't wait until I am free from the burdens of this life and in heaven, when we're all in heaven and His glory is revealed in us, it's going to be exceptional. It's going to be exciting. We're not to heaven yet, but anytime we sense God working in us, it's a foretaste of what heaven will be like as God completely works out His will in a redeemed body, a redeemed mind, totally free from all of the limitations of this life and of our sinful nature. Well, trials have another benefit. They can give us compassion for people. And this is so important. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And one of the greatest gifts we can extend to people is a compassion that is more than sympathy, but is actually us entering in, it's sharing their suffering. That's really what the word compassion means, cum passeo, with passion, with emotion, with suffering. We're sharing what they're going through. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writes this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. God is the Father. He is the originator of compassion. So if you had this idea that God is angry with people and has got a baseball bat and He's ready to clobber people when they get out of line, you've totally missed the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is a God of compassion. Listen to this. He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Going through a trial, going through troubles, God is comforting you. God is there with you. Why does He do that? Well, first of all, to comfort us. And second, listen to this, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I mean, when you've gone through a trial and God has been close to you and God has brought His comfort into your life, when you see someone else going through a similar trial, you have an ability to understand what that feels like. You have an ability to understand what they might be thinking. We can't read people's thoughts and minds, and everybody processes things differently, but we can have a sense in general terms and sometimes specific terms of what that person needs, and we can comfort them. I mean, ask yourself this, who better to comfort somebody who's lost a child than somebody who has lost a child? Who better to comfort somebody who's gone through the excruciating experience of losing their lifelong mate than somebody who has gone through that? There is a comfort that they can give because they understand, even without saying words, they can express that sensitivity and that understanding of God's comfort and extend that to somebody else. So trials can help us to comfort people. There's a fifth benefit of trials. Trials mature our faith. And that's what James is thinking about in James chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete. Listen to this, not lacking anything. Trials strengthen our faith, they develop perseverance, and they bring about a maturity in our walk with God. That's why James says this in James chapter 1 and verse 2, consider it pure joy. My brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. The NEB translates it this way, count yourselves supremely happy. Now, think of it this way. James is writing to weary, beat up Christians who are going through, in the book of James, he's just listing one trial after another, the different trials that his readers are facing. And you and I are going through a season of trial. And you might be weary. Here's what James is saying. Consider it pure joy. Now, honestly, that almost sounds irrational. You say, what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean we have to enjoy our trials. And it doesn't mean we have to have joyful emotions during severe trials. Nor does it mean we walk out and say, hooray, I just got fired. James is saying this. You and I need to make a conscious, deliberate decision in the face of trials to experience joy. You say, is that really possible? And the answer is yes. But it starts with a choice. Consider it pure joy. When we face trials, this week, right now, tonight, right where you're at, maybe today was a trying day for you. Maybe you're like, I am so tired of being confined to home. I am so tired of not being able to go to work. I am so tired of the strain of this situation. Whatever it is that you're tired of, whatever it is that you wish you were free of, whatever it is that, maybe like that person who said, I just want my old life back. When we face trials, we need to stop and think. We need to ask ourselves this question, how are we going to respond to this situation? How are we going to think about this trial? I love what Warren Wiersbe writes in his commentary. Listen to this. Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better. James says, consider it pure joy. Evaluate it. Think about the trial. Think about this season as an opportunity for God to work in your life and my life, things that He couldn't work into our life any other way. I mean, I promise you this, you will never forget this pandemic for as long as you live. This will be something you remember. But isn't it more important, rather than just remembering the pandemic, that we remember what God did? Wouldn't it be a shame if you and I came out of this pandemic and our life wasn't any different at all? Wouldn't it be tragic if this, really what I would consider one of the greatest opportunities we could ever have to see God work in our life, if because we were stubborn, because we were complaining, because we were irritated and depressed and struggling and didn't consider it joy, we missed what God wanted to do. Listen, considering it pure joy means that we say, this is an opportunity for God to work. And God, I'm not crazy about the trial, but I'm glad you are working in my life, because when you work, God, it always turns out good. And that thought alone, God working in us, should bring us great joy. An opportunity like this trial, this pandemic, to grow doesn't come every day. We can all say praise God for that. But think about it as an opportunity for God to do an exceptional work in our lives, an exceptional work in the church, that when we meet together, who knows that God hasn't allowed this trial for us to be a part so he could work in us to a greater degree individually, that when we come back together, we will be stronger, we will be more committed to him, we will know him better. His grace will have accomplished a work in our life that will propel us forward into this next season. You know, we talked about a new normal at the start of the year. I believe that God knew exactly what we were headed into when he gave us that encouraging word on a new normal. And he knew this would be a part of bringing us to that new normal. And that's exactly what God is doing. He's developing things in us that could not be developed any other way. He's developing endurance. He's developing maturity. He's developing things in us so that he can more powerfully work through us. And that should bring us great, great joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds.